Hello, I'm Jane Pratt, and I'm joined by Tim Peters to read the second part of this week's Chatterbox. We will start with Information Desk, and as promised earlier, Tim will provide a bit more information about the additional cost of living grant that the government will be providing to disabled people.
You may get a lump sum payment of £150 if you're getting any of the following: attendance allowance, constant attendance allowance, disability living allowance for adults, disability living allowance for children, personal independence payment, armed forces independence payment, or war pension mobility supplement. You must have received a payment of one of these qualifying benefits by the 25th of May 2022 to get the payment. There are additional cost of living grants for people who are on income-related benefits, such as universal credit and pension credit, and there are also payments to households to help with rising energy bills. If you need further advice on any of these, you can contact Vision Norfolk or ask for advice from Norfolk Citizens Advice, phone 0800 144 8848, or Age UK Norwich, phone 01603 496 333. Jane will now read the first of this week's messages from Vision Norfolk.
There are no messages this week from listeners, but may we remind you that your memory stick player should not be left charging for long periods of time, as this causes the batteries to swell up and can be dangerous. Therefore, if you intend to use the player on mains power only, it is recommended that you remove the battery. To do this, locate the battery panel clip on the back of the player, near the top edge. Use your nail to pull the clip towards the base whilst lifting upwards. The flap will lever out and can be removed. To remove the battery, use your fingernail on the right edge of the battery. Push to the left slightly and lever upwards to remove. To replace the battery, position the battery so that you can feel on one of the short edges of the left-hand side, three rectangular recesses, or the contact points. Insert the battery with these contact points sliding in first. Close to the bottom from right to left so that the long edge is running parallel with the base.
South Park Avenue will be temporarily closed on Wednesday the 31st of August between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. to replace a damaged speed cushion, and means that South Park Avenue will be closed from its junction with Buckingham Road to the entrance with Eaton Park, nearest Coleman Road. All through traffic will be diverted via Bluebell Road, North Park Avenue and Coleman Road. Access to Buckingham Road will be via Bluebell Road and South Park Avenue, and a signed diversion route will be in place and access maintained to all properties. Bus services will operate via Bluebell Road, the Avenues and Coleman Road during these works. Thank you for your patience while this work takes place. We aim to minimise disruption and complete work as quickly as possible.
I am reading on behalf of Beth, an optometry and vision science researcher from Anglia Ruskin University and City University London, and she can be reached on 0207 040 3226. She is conducting research focused on Charles Bonnet Syndrome, CBS, both the impact of CBS on quality of life and seeing if she can find a psychological route for the condition in people with sight loss. She hopes your organisation may be able to help her in getting the word out to your members about her research, and she is looking for participants. As you know, participating in research is crucial to help find better management strategies and treatments for these conditions. Her study is an EEG study based in Cambridge at Anglia Ruskin University, who are looking for people with a visual impairment who have regular CBS hallucinations every 1 hour and who will be happy to travel to Cambridge. We will cover the cost of travel for them and a friend via Amazon vouchers. An EEG is completely harmless and non-invasive. The participant will just need to have a brief vision test and then sit in a chair and let us know and when they have an episode by clicking a button. Before they take part, I will need to phone and go through some screening questions with them to check they're suitable. This study is really important, as we use it to localise where the changes are happening in the brain, which may inform treatments. The other, less intensive study is a quality of life questionnaire study. This will involve the participants answering questions about their CBS physical well-being and how they feel day to day. This questionnaire can be conducted online via a link, or we can post paper copies out with a return envelope, or we can conduct the questionnaire over the phone. The questionnaire will take roughly 30 to 40 minutes, but usually takes about an hour on the phone. This one is being run by City University London, and we're free to call people at their leisure. This study is accessible for everyone, and it is important to understand how different types of hallucinations impact how we think and feel. If you are interested, the link for the questionnaire study is shorturl.at/hrxex.
Now we have the forthcoming events from Vision Norfolk, Magpie Road, Norwich, NR31JH, held at the Bradbury Activity Centre, Beckham Place, Norwich, NR33DZ. For further information or to book an event, contact Mark or Helen on 01603 573 000 extension 341 or email mark.smith@visionnorfolk.org.uk.
If you missed the chance to see the audio description and touch tour of Les Miserables on Thursday the 8th of September at 2:30 p.m, please contact Mark or Helen, as they have had two tickets returned and they could be yours.
F-Stop Eyes, Visually Impaired Photography Group. This group meets on the first and the third Friday of the month from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. when it either holds indoor sessions costing £4, offering advice and help with photo editing as well as indoor shoots and the chance to chat over coffee, or outdoor meetings that are photo shoots around the city or out in the countryside. The next meetings are indoor Friday the 2nd of September, outdoor Friday the 16th of September.
The Vision Norfolk Theatre Group invite you to a performance of Jack and the Beanstalk at the Theatre Royal on Tuesday the 3rd of January at 2:30 p.m. Tickets cost £26.55, and this includes a sighted companion if required, and booking is open until Friday the 7th of October.
See The Nutcracker at Norwich Theatre Royal on Saturday the 26th of November at 2:30 p.m. with audio description and insight talk. Tickets cost £48.50 plus a companion ticket if required. Share in Clara's adventures as she's swept away by her Nutcracker Prince into an enchanting winter wonderland. Don't miss dazzling dancing snowflakes, the famous Sugarplum Fairy, and the notorious Mouse King in the ultimate festive entertainment. Performed to Tchaikovsky's enduring score, played live by Northern Ballet Sinfonia, the Nutcracker awakens childlike imagination in us all. To book by Monday the 10th of October, please call Mark or Helen. That's all for Information Desk this week, so I'll ask Jane to introduce our fourth set of news stories.
There was a variety of health-related stories in the evening news this week. Details have been announced for the rollout of the next COVID jabs. A free e-cigarette scheme has helped 42% of Norfolk smokers to quit. In order to ease pressure on the ambulance service, they are using taxis to take some patients to hospital. And finally, we have news of healthcare 2,000 years ago from the latest excavations at a village near Norwich. The headline to this was, Hail Caesar! Tim is here to start the series of health-related stories.
Details have been announced for the local rollout of a new COVID vaccine designed to target two different forms of the virus, which starts next month. The jab has been specifically created to work against both the original coronavirus and the Omicron variant, which fueled a wave last winter. This month, the UK became the first country in the world to approve the jab. The autumn booster programme will begin in the region on September the 5th and will see some people receive their fourth dose of vaccine. As with previous vaccine campaigns, jabs will be administered at GP surgeries and pharmacies, with walk-in centres, pop-up clinics and roving teams also due to be used. The rollout will begin with care home residents and housebound people before being expanded the following week. From September the 12th, people who are clinically vulnerable or those aged 75 and over will receive invitations and be able to book appointments.
Free e-cigarette vouchers have helped 2 in 5 Norfolk smokers kick the habit, a study has shown. Smokers in Norfolk who had previously struggled to quit were offered a £25 voucher to exchange for a vaping starter pack in a trial funded by Norfolk County Council. The scheme, which was initially targeted in Great Yarmouth, saw smokers struggling to quit referred into a study. In total, 668 people took part in the scheme, which ran between December 2019 and July 2021. Of these, 340 redeemed a voucher for a vape starter kit, and 143 of these had successfully quit smoking within 4 weeks. Having seen success, the scheme has been rolled out further in the county, with hopes it could also be introduced nationwide. The study was commissioned by Norfolk County Council and led by UEA, with researchers collaborating with the public health team and local Stop Smoking Service Smoke Free Norfolk. Their research, titled A Pilot E-Cigarette Voucher Scheme in a Rural County of the United Kingdom, is published in the journal Nicotine and Tobacco Research.
Norfolk's ambulance service is using taxis to take patients to hospital after 999 calls in an effort to ease pressure on its resources. The East of England Ambulance Service Trust, EEAST, said the option was only being used in a small proportion of cases and that it was only doing so when it was judged clinically safe. It comes at a time when the Trust, like others around the country, is coming under increasing pressure, with 999 patients often forced to endure lengthy waits before an ambulance arrives, and then again outside hospitals until they're admitted. Bosses said only approved taxi services were being used, and that ambulances were always used in the most urgent cases. The region's health watchdog has welcomed the move, as long as the patient has been properly assessed before being taken by taxi. However, concerns have been raised by some patients, as well as taxi drivers concerned about responding to 999 calls. An EEAST spokesman said, "Like other ambulance services across the UK, we have a long-standing arrangement with taxi firms and third-party providers to support our services. A decision to use a taxi to convey a patient to hospital is made only once deemed safe and appropriate by a clinician and consent is gained by the patient, including on some occasions after an assessment by a paramedic on scene. An ambulance is always sent if there's any question about the suitability of using a taxi." A spokesperson from NHS Norfolk and Waveney said the third-party transport has been used for a number of years and only when patients meet strict criteria.
These days, people go to their GP or local walk-in centre for help with their ailments. But 2,000 years ago, things were not quite so simple. Now, archaeologists conducting a dig at a village near Norwich hope they might be able to unearth some of the secrets of Roman healthcare. The team are carrying out work this summer at Caister St Edmund, near the town the Romans knew as Venta Sinorum. They have discovered medical implements in one area of the site and hope they may be able to learn more about how Roman physicians plied their trade there. This summer's Caister's Roman Project excavations, where volunteers and archaeologists are carefully searching the soil, is on farmland known as Friston Field. The area is a stone's throw from where the site of a Roman temple off Caister Lane was excavated in previous digs. The team believe the area was not only a place of worship, but was also a location where physicians may have established themselves to offer medical cures for those drawn to the temple to find help for their ailments. Archaeologists believe the temple area was a cult site before the Romans arrived at what was the capital of the Iceni tribe, led by Boudica.
We now come to the second part of the feature on Keith Skipper. Here's Mike Spivey again to continue the story.